We prepare our hearts to hear the message today, but before I do that, I just wanted to give you a little background on my relationship to Hillendale and also to Pastor Gareth. I want to thank you again for this opportunity to be with you here in worship and to lift up the Word of God as part of your summer spiritual recharge series that you're having. Pastor Gareth shared with you that summertime here at Hillendale is a time to hear fresh voices who are in partnership with your community, partners like myself who are praying for you and lifting you up as you serve your congregation and the greater community. May this time that we're together this morning be a time of recharge, sort of like soulful fireworks for the 4th of July is what I was thinking this week. And may you find a blessing and peace reading and meditating on the Word together, all of us together, and as we hear the gospel message. Last week, I was honored to be here with you when you had Dr. Elijah Brown of the Baptist World Alliance share as part of your summer series. He was talking about a theme of justice and evangelism through the work of the Baptist World Alliance, which I am a part of, and Pastor Gareth and our ministry. Your own pastor, Pastor Gareth, is sharing, as I said, in an international setting today. It's very exciting to think about that. And Gareth and I both share a gift of wanting to help people in their spiritual formation, and especially globally like that. So this is a great opportunity for him to be able to go and do that. And thank you as a church for supporting him with that. The other connection that Gareth and I have through the Lord is through the John Leland Center. I currently serve in ministry in several ways, and one of those is helping at the John Leland Center with class teaching and with a group called the Cornelius Corps, which is a spiritual racial reconciliation group, and take some of the people that went to the John Leland Center, and we lead groups in churches, and we help people to come together. Last fall, I believe y'all had a Journey to Justice event here at Hillendale that you hosted, and you were one of the first churches to partner with that ministry. And we want to thank you for that, too. And I want to thank you for being a church that's open to that and helping others to study and pray and to serve in the community in that way. I am so thankful, as I said, to be with you here, and to God be the glory. Now let us bow our heads in prayer together for an opening prayer of praise and blessing for your pastor, Gareth, as he preaches. I think it'll be tomorrow. I know he said he was going to be traveling this weekend, and so let's pray for him now and also for this worship service. Father, as you know and have prepared Gareth and the Hillendale congregation, we ask a special blessing on him this morning, sharing the word with a global audience. We remember him in prayer for safe travel and the safe keeping of his heart and mind. Please stay close to him as he meets and greets others in your name. May Gareth feel God's spirit within him as he delivers this evangelistic and justice message on spiritual formation to the Baptist World Alliance International Gathering. May he be blessed and feel the love of his brothers and sisters here at Hillendale and all those praying for him, sharing Christ's love. And Father, Comforter, and Deliverer, now with the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind, may they be acceptable to you, for you are my rock and you are my Redeemer. And as we hear the word this morning, may it be in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like for you to, old time religion again, grab out your Bibles from the pew if you don't have your Bible with you. And we're going to take a look together at the scripture verse, which is the lectionary this Sunday. And Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 42. This is a special story within a story. And we're going to learn a little bit about Mark. And then we're also going to learn a little bit about a special story within a story, as I call it, and two daughters and a son. And that's the name of the sermon today, two daughters and a son. So if you have your Bibles or the pew Bibles there, Mark chapter 5, 21 through 42, I hope you'll be listening because this is a story about miracles. And miracles still happen. They happen every day. I believe in that. If you believe in that, say amen. 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 Thank you. That is very affirming. There are two miracles mentioned in the scripture. You probably read it before. You probably studied it before in Sunday school or coming up, or maybe it's new to you. So if it's new to you today, I hope you get a word from it. There's three things in here as we read together. And this is one of the things I learned in seminary, is people read the scripture, it's for them as they read it. And each person as they read it gets something themselves. So when I read it, I heard three things. And so I'm just going to share those three things with you right now before we read it. And if you hear that too, that's great. If not, if you hear something else, that's great too. The three points that I heard were, there's amazing healing touch that is found through faith. Healing touch that is found through faith. There is hopeful tenacity, going after something, staying with it with your faith, and taking risk that leads to restoration and power. So there's touch and tenacity. And the third thing to listen for is tender love. The tender love of the Savior, the tender love we receive, that's found and given when we voice and share our vulnerabilities at the feet of the one who loves us so, Jesus, the Son. So three things there that we'll be listening for. And as I said, the title of this scripture sermon today is Two Daughters and the Son. Let us read together. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from this affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, and turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see multitudes thronging around you. You say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that that had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came after the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult of people there and who were weeping and wailing loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. And when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was lying. And then he took the child by hand, and he said to her in Aramaic, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the little girl walked, and she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. And may we be overcome with great amazement, the power of Jesus this morning, and bless the reading of this word. Amen. Wow, this is an amazing story to study. It's long, okay, but it's good. And it's just like Mark. If any of you study the background and sort of the scholarly commentaries, that kind of thing that some of us had to do in seminary, you learn a little bit about the technique of the gospel. And I just wanted to share a little tidbit that I like trivia, I like history, so I'll share this with you before we get started. Mark is the oldest of the Gospels. Mark is the shortest. And it's said that Mark, by the scholars, is the basis of this Gospel that Luke and also that Matthew sourced from. So they're very related. They're like three triplets, you know, in the gospel. John's over there, all in love, the beloved disciple, John. So that's it's a whole different perspective of the gospel. But together, all four say the same thing. They teach us about Jesus. But Mark, one of my seminary professors said, it's like this. When Mark tells a story, it's like a sandwich. And I was like, okay. It's a Markan sandwich. There's a story within a story usually. So you have the first layer, like the little girl, as we read, there's the synagogue official coming, and there's the little girl. And then you jump right to a woman in the middle. That's the middle part of the sandwich. And then you go back to the story of where the woman, where the little girl is then healed. So you've got the little girl story, the woman's story, the daughter story that Jesus heals, and then you have the story of healing and restoration. So it's like bread, meat, bread, eat the sandwich, and spiritual nourishment. So that helped me in seminary to know the difference when I was reading the gospel stories, and you could read Mark and go, oh, that's a Mark story, that's a Markan story. The other little tidbit that later for you to write on your notes for later is this. If you go to Acts 12:12, there's a verse in there that talks about a double-named guy named John Mark. And it said that he is probably the writer of this. You know, 60 years later, after Jesus' death, is when they found these words shared. And John Mark happened to be not a disciple, but a friend of a disciple, Peter and Paul. He was said to be, and he lived with his mother in a house church, and they, you know, Peter came and knocked on the door in Acts 12:12 and went to their house, to John Mark's house, and Mary was her name. She was another Mary, and it's exciting to me with this, because I hadn't read this before until I started studying, that she has said that she may have helped her son put all this together. So that, to me, was like, wow. You know, people who saved the stories of Jesus after Jesus, and those people doing it in house churches and coming along, and there, and now here it is, over 2,000 years later, we have the Bible, and those people were living out the Great Commission just like we are. You know, will we do that for the next generation to save it? I hope so. I pray so this 4th of July weekend. So to me, that was very exciting to study that and read that. And I stand amazed at the Word of God this morning. So let's take a look at the story of the two daughters and the son. The son we know is Jesus, the Son of God, who was traveling to a crowded shore in a Jewish town by the sea. He follows alongside his disciples, and they follow alongside him to seek and heal and save. And Jesus is confronted by a father at that moment named Jairus, as some people say, who happens to be a high official in the local temple. So here you have a high official in local community, and in the first story. In the second story, you're going to have the daughter, who is just about as ostracized and an outcast as somebody can be. So you have a juxtaposition there of what Jesus is doing, of someone who's higher in the community but can't be saved because of death and by humans. And then there's this woman who hasn't been healed for 12 years. And it's funny, too, to hear this. The little girl's 12 years old, and her affliction was 12 years. And as many of you know who study the Bible, their number 12 comes up many times, doesn't it? The 12 disciples, the 12 tribes of Israel. So I think this is significant as we think about it all and look for what touches our life. And coming alive there in the story in verse 23, you hear Jairus begging, a father begging for his daughter's healing. My little daughter lies at this point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, Jesus, that she may be healed and she will live. Now, he's not used to going to Jesus, and he was a synagogue official. So this is a big deal for him to come and be vulnerable and kneel at the feet of Jesus. So Jesus just said, let's go. He went. He went with them, and he was, this crowd was around him. And, you know, the word there in the scriptures, thronging him. And I had to look that up because I was like, okay, what's the definition of that? Well, that just means people pushing and madness in the crowd, you know. And I'm sure we'll see some of those crowds here on the 4th of July up on the mall. So, you know, it was just tight, and the disciples weren't really sure what was going on or how to react. And they just want to get Jesus, you know, they're just following him. The crowd is heavy and thronging. The Bible says that means swarming with people everywhere. And we get the idea when the disciples react, it's difficult for them to know what's going on. But Jesus wants to go to help, to heal, to save, no matter. That is Jesus's mission of the son, as the son to this daughter. Then the second story kicks in, and this is the layer of the sandwich that we get to, that we say, there's a daughter, another woman in this story. We get the idea that someone may have heard or seen at that moment, maybe, that what Jesus was doing, and this daughter, she comes forward and she says, I need healing. I've put up with this too long. I'm going to try to get in there and into this crowd. And this woman, the other daughter in the story, who the son Jesus calls daughter, is dying a torturous death, and no one has helped her. 12 long years of bleeding. She's unclean. She's an outcast by the Jewish Levitical law. She's not fit to be with people in the community. She can't cook. She can't sit in a chair, they say. She can't be around anyone. She lives on the margin. So as the story plays out, she becomes really vulnerable. She takes on the crowd, risking it all, just like Jairus had. He was risking it all. The threat of rebuke and the surging crowd. If she reaches the rabbi, the teacher, this one who everyone is crowding around, and some translations share she longs for, if only the hem of his garment, to touch it with one finger. Yes, risking humiliation, being seen desperate, seeking healing tenaciously and tenderly with one touch. And of course, Jesus notices, as he always does, and hallelujah for that. The son notices and feels the power, leave him and go to this daughter. And he says, who did that? What happened? And he looks at the disciples. He's saying, find out who that was. And they're like, how can we do that? What do you mean this crowd's pushing? We need to keep moving, Jesus, and find Jairus's house. And then it happens. All the vulnerabilities get thrown on the ground. All is revealed. She, again, just like Jairus, is at the feet of the Son of God. She kneels and admits that she needed this, this powerful healing that only Jesus could give, because she believes. She believes. And just as Jairus, the father of the little girl, he believed. And Jesus, in his tender mercy and love, calls to her, daughter, 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 go in peace now. Your faith has made you well. Dear marginalized outcast daughter, your faith has made you well. Now be whole. Be whole. Go in peace. You're well. It's free. Take it. Wholeness, healing. She was trembling and totally healed. The bleeding stopped immediately when she touched him. A miracle occurred because of faith. Again, juxtaposing the two stories, Jesus continues to find Jairus. Even though some say it's too late, his 12-year-old girl has died. But Jesus, the son, continues to seek and to save. No matter, he finds Jairus' house amidst all this confusion and commotion and mourning and pipes and music, the Bible says in different translations. So much going on because they were convinced that little girl was dead. She's lying back there in the back of this house, and people are mourning, and her parents and her mother probably are just beside herself. And Jesus said, "Where's the little girl that's asleep?" And that's when people in the crowd just start mocking him and laughing at Jesus. But he knows this is a sign of things to come for him. But he insists to go, and with that, he takes her sad and faithful parents, and of course, with his close buddy disciples, they go with him and tell the doubters to give him some space and privacy, please. The scripture says, and they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother to the little girl and those who were with him and entered with the child where she was lying. And then he took the child by the hand, again, Jesus touching the little girl, and said to her in Aramaic, as we said, his language, Talitha Kume, which is translated, little girl, arise. Wow. That one gets me. Arise. Arise. That's what we're called to do with our faith. Arise. Faith wins again. Another miracle. Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Hope wins. Love wins. This miracle, inspired by touch, pure tenacity of Jesus, and his loving tenderness that translates to faith, hope, and love, the core of our beliefs in the Son. Belief that predicts he, the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, will arise himself someday soon. That he, like us, like the daughters and sons we are, overcome our vulnerabilities because of faith. It's through faith, it's through the touch of Jesus to our wounds, our hurts, our loss, our grief, our pain, our suffering, our prayers, and our longings. His love will overcome all of it. All we have to do is believe in him. His will be done to give us peace and true wholeness. And as we close this story within a story of healing, of wholeness and restoration, I hope you'll remember these two daughters and their encounter with the Son of God. And everyone in the story truly needs the Savior, the tenacious, tender touch from the Savior, Son, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And if we are Christ followers, we can do that for others. How can we do that for others? As believers, we can be the healing touch or the word of peace. We can do that. We can offer and show our tenacity through steadfast faith, hope, and love that we live each day. We can seek Jesus as the answer in our times of suffering and grief. We can show others that in times of hardship, there is someone to call on, not ourselves, but someone greater than us. Jesus, the Son who saves. May we share God's love this day and all the days of our lives through our life witness. And remember this message of healing touch, hopeful tenacity, and loving tenderness of a Savior. Amen. Now I think we are going to have a time of next steps. And as the music plays, we bow our heads in a time of reflection in the service. And if you need prayer today, please know you can share that on your connection card if you like, or if you want to talk to someone. And here at Hillendale, I met many wonderful people when I came in today who are deacons and laity here at the church. They'll pray with you, and I'll pray with you. So if you want to come forward, you can too. So, dear friends, this theme of that's been running through the word shared today is that of faith. Faith in God despite the circumstances. And truly, faith is about trust and relationship to God. And if God is ultimately defined by believing in him and his love for us, this matter of faith is about counting on the unfailing tenacity of that love even in the valleys of life. While this faith does not always come easy, we have never found it to be false with Jesus. Since this special week, we're celebrating the birth of our country too. We come to our God thankful for independence and freedom to worship. We're thankful for the beauty and diversity of the people of this country. And we continue to pray and reflect on the vulnerability of children, daughters, and sons all, and to the marginalized in our society, daughters and sons all. Just as the story today from the gospel reminds us, our nation faces a time that calls for faith. Faith in what that which God can give, faith in God's love to do even in the face of suffering and evil that is going on. May we be vessels and vehicles of that love wherever God leads us. And may we not only find hope, but give hope to others. We pray for those in need who are lost, lonely, dying, and broken this day, O Lord. May you have mercy on them and on us. May we be willing to face our vulnerabilities and suffering and put it at the foot of Jesus and bow as daughters and sons to the healer, thankfully asking for wholeness and love. In the name of the Savior, healer, deliverer, and friend, Jesus, hear our prayer. Amen.